You've held newborn babies, I'm sure. They're fragile, super fragile, and they're handed to very often incompetent parents who feel very insecure and unable to raise this child. I felt the same way with my son, Chad, who's the father of Ruby, when he was born. There's just this fragility, fragile, handed to fragile. It's incredible. A beautiful treasure, nonetheless, but handed to fragile. We stayed with our son a few weeks after he was born just to help them out a little bit. And so my son Chad and I went to a place called Walmart in the States to get some diapers and other things for this child. And my son on the way there said, listen, I am overwhelmed. Said, everyone tells us that the first couple of months of a newborn is no big deal, but it is the scariest time of my life, is trying to keep them alive. Just trying to keep them alive. Ruby, in her case, was jaundiced after she was born. And then you think about all the other diseases, RSV, the flu, COVID, bronchitis, chickenpox, whooping cough, measles, mumps, rubella, rotavirus, hepatitis B, meningococcal. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And that's just the diseases. And then there's the siblings who want to hold her, you know, and hold her, kiss her, hug her, but don't have the motor skills to actually handle this baby properly. So it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And yet, this is what Jesus did. God hands his son to fragile humanity, to us. This treasure says here, have my fragile child here. Take this child. Take care of it. Mary and Joseph knew who they were holding when he was born. What anxiety they must have felt, tasked with taking care of such a treasure. They must have been wondering, you know they were, are we enough to take care of the King of Kings? How amazing that God entrusts his son to us. Incredible. I hope this morning you'll be overwhelmed by the extraordinary gift of love that God has given us by giving us his son. The message of Christmas is really that God becomes vulnerable, helpless. He becomes flesh, becomes a newborn baby, a baby, and entrusts himself to mortal man to raise and care for. Raised by man and killed by man. The now risen Savior still places himself into fragile vessels that are in desperate need of his care. Matthew 1 says it like this. The apostle says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. This is the Apostle John says this, John 1:14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Mary, a woman, possibly a teenager, is handed the Savior of the world. Mary was conceived with Jesus before she was married. Jesus, God, intentionally places his treasure into what was rejected, what was set aside, because of his incredible love for us. God chose what was rejected by man or treated poorly by most into the world. That's where he decided to come. Joseph, because he was a good man, did not want to disgrace her publicly. An angel appeared to him in a dream and told him to not be afraid. He said, marry her anyway. I wonder how people spoke of them after they were married. Oh, there goes that couple. There was no room in the inn. There wasn't a good place for them to have this baby. Born in stables, Jesus was laid in a manger as a feeding trough for animals. Jesus, God chose for Jesus to come into our fragility, to step into our fragility, born in Bethlehem, a no-count town. And actually born, just that all by itself, born. I want my son to be born in fragility, a helpless baby, needy of a human mother. Why indeed did and does God do it like this? Over and over again, the King of Kings steps into our fragile humanity, our vulnerability, because he loves us. And because he wants us to see the great power that we enjoy as children of God. We need to see this contrast. We suffer from relative value syndrome, where everything is based on our value. We see value based on what it's compared to, instead of just seeing the intrinsic value. How wonderful it would have been if we could have just seen Jesus for who he is. But we, as humanity, suffer from the inability to really assess value. And so we need to see contrast. We need to see Jesus compared to us. And so God chose to send his son into fragile humanity so that the contrast would be evident. And Jesus stood out, always stood out, right? Mary knew this. That's why Mary, when they were at a wedding, Mary comes to Jesus and says, listen, the wine's run out. They knew who he was. She knew who he was. He makes the best wine. He doesn't just kind of make wine that kind of fits in. He makes the best wine. The contrast. What did they say? Why did you save the best wine for last? Jesus steps into our world and stands out, right? And we need him to, because we don't understand value. We need this. We need light to expose our darkness. We need this. We desperately need this. I want to show you a picture here that I found in my house last week, Saturday. Turn those lights off one more time. Yeah. I was doing some cleaning, moved a couch, and I found this in the corner of my house. Termites. And they weren't just in that room. They were in the garage. They'd eaten several of my boxes in the garage. It was a great opportunity for me to clean out my garage. But you can turn the light back on. Thank you. But this light exposes the problem. The termites were there long before I moved the couch. They were there. They're not there anymore, by the way. I took care of business. God becomes a man, enters man's world, and thus exposes our weaknesses. So we will know who he is in contrast to who we are not. We need this contrast. We need light to shine into the reality of our world so that we can see who he is. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says this, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. The sweetness of our God to come into our world, to our fragility, and expose that we truly need him. We needed him before we knew we needed him. We desperately needed him. We can do nothing without him. But very often we walk around as though that we don't need him, as though he is not the Savior of the world. We need to see it. We understand this problem is that we value things based on what they're compared to, the contrast of beauty. We see this. We understand this. Businesses know this. It's why businesses will put a very expensive item on a menu at a restaurant so that you'll buy the least expensive one, which is really their entry level. That's exactly what they do. Politicians will stand before you and they will try to explain to you the problem that you're not aware of so that they can solve it. Their value is only in comparison to the problem they're going to solve. So they've got to tell you the problem so that you'll vote for them so that they can fix it. This is the problem with us, is that we see value only in contrast. And so through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. We need Christ to be seen. And therefore, our weakness allows this to happen. So why does Jesus place himself in fragile humanity so that we can understand his beauty, his greatness? Because we need him. We desperately need him. And surely we know how strange this is, right? Placing a treasure into something fragile. We understand that putting something important into something unimportant is not done if we can totally, completely avoid it. We protect what is precious from what is fragile, right? We protect what is precious from what is fragile, what is broken, and what is unreliable. I don't hand the keys to my car to my grandchildren. They're not old enough. I love them. But I don't just entrust anything to broken. Jesus is placed into fragile humanity. We protect what is precious. Jesus gives his son to us. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. When I was in fifth grade, I moved to the big city of Kansas City, Missouri. I'd been living in West Africa where there's no weather change. It's constantly hot and humid every day. I didn't know what a jacket was. I didn't know what long sleeve shirts were. I wore a short sleeve, and sunscreen and short sleeve shirts were our friends, hats and humidity. It was so bad when I was a kid, I used to walk the streets of Lomé Togo and pray, God, please, when I grow up, can I move? Can I live somewhere else? We moved to Kansas City, Missouri for a year, and Kansas City, Missouri is known for seasons. Seasons are my first introduction to seasons. And, cold winter and spring and all different things. And so my parents decided it would probably be a good idea if they bought me a jacket. And so we went to a store, and my mom decided that she was going to buy me a denim jacket, a jean jacket, because she thought that was cool. I, on the other hand, thought that was very uncool. But because my mom was buying it from me, I received it. And then when it was time for school to start, my mom put this jacket on me, and I protested, but not long, because the hand was a little bit higher than my head. And so I wore this jean jacket to school under duress. And so I walked in, and all of a sudden, all of my classmates started coming around and telling me what a cool jean jacket I had. Man, that's a cool jean jacket. And especially one girl that was very pretty that I liked thought that my jacket was the coolest thing in the world. And all of a sudden, I loved that jacket. That was the greatest jacket. My heart changed. That became my jacket of choice. But all of a sudden, that jean jacket was very valuable to me, because it was in contrast to what my friends thought about it, not my mom. Contrast. We need contrast. It's one of our Achilles' heels of humanity, is that we can't see value intrinsically. We have to see it in comparison. We need to be saved. We need help. And so Jesus comes into our fragile world, and he stands out. He stands out. If you know Jesus this morning, you know this to be true, right? When Jesus came into your life, you saw the difference in contrast of who he is compared to who you are, right? And you saw him transform you. You see his value once he saved you. We need him. We need him. Paul said that when I am weak, then he is strong. Isaiah 9, I think the prophet Isaiah just said it. It's more than just this verse, but I want you to see this. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for to us, and emphasize this, us, for to us a child is born. It's amazing. To us, a son is given. Us. Fragile humanity. So, God wants us to see his great power because we need it. God wants us to see the contrast of who he is and who we are not because we need him. So, God places himself into us and says, here I am to save you. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. John 1:14 says the same. Introduction to this is that God became flesh, came to us, and He was full of unfailing love for us. For us. Matthew 1, let me read this to you again. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. John, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The message of Christmas is that God chose vulnerability, becoming flesh as a newborn, and entrusted himself to ordinary, broken people, raised by humanity and killed by humanity. The now risen Savior still places himself into fragile lives that desperately need his care. Jesus is no longer weak, yet he makes his home in our hearts. We are still like Mary and Joseph, limited and breakable, yet entrusted with the greatest treasure in history. God places himself into jars of clay, not because they are strong, but in order to save them. His power belongs to him, not us. And somehow we, the jars, we carry the treasure of Christ. It's a staggering reality, and one we're slowing down this Christmas to truly grasp. I hope we will have some level of understanding of our jar likeness, that we are jars of clay, and the treasure that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to us, fragile humanity. Lord, how we love you, we adore you. But Lord, I am sure that none of us in this room truly understand your value. And so, Lord, increase our understanding, Father, of who you are and our desperate need for you this morning. Lord, we thank you, Jesus Christ, that you came to us. Lord, thank you that your heart is love and forgiveness, compassion. Lord, you see past our fragility and you save us. Lord, you came to save us. And so we give you praise for that this morning. Lord, may we truly know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.